If you would turn with us over the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 12. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 12. If you're willing and able, we'd like to stand for the reading of the Word of God as our culture here. 1 Corinthians 15 and 12. Paul is writing and he says, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we've testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." You may be seated this morning. Father, we love you. And so we thank you for this time today, the grandest day in our Christian faith of where we're focused on this Easter morning, on the power of the resurrection, where God sent you His Son, the Lord Jesus, to die for our sins. And on the third day, you rose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And I want to thank you for that hope that lives in my life and my heart this morning. I pray now you touch the Word of God today. Do that only what you can do. Thank you for this good church, the kindness of your people. We'll be careful to honor you and thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Paul says that if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. When Adam sinned, all the way back to the garden, the whole human race fell in Adam. For they and we are all one in Him. For in Adam all die. We all are going to die and meet God. But now Christ is the second Adam. And all believers are one with Him. And because He rose again, believers rise again. He lives, and we the believers shall live also. I want to preach on this simple subject this morning, on He did what He said. He wouldn't stay dead. He did what He said. He wouldn't stay dead. I want you to turn with me now into John's Gospel. And I want you to look at this first service on Easter. What happened on their first Easter service in our Bible? I want to take you this text and just preach a few moments out of this passage on He did what He said. He wouldn't stay dead. In John 20, verse 1, the Bible reads something now different that the readers or the disciples had never experienced. I'll cover it again in a moment, but He said in John 20 and 1, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, to the sepulchre, seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre." You remember that Jesus went into a borrowed tomb. Joseph of Arimathea, Brother Jamie, remember you preaching on him. He is a rich man. He gave his grave that was hewn out in a stone. He gave it to Jesus. You say, somebody come to him and said, "Now, Joseph, why would you give your grave to Jesus?" Because he said, "Well, he only needs it for the weekend." Somebody say amen. Because our Lord got out of the grave. I'm glad he's very much alive this morning. So here, Jesus has risen. Mary goes and finds the tomb empty. And that afternoon, that Sunday evening, their first service, the disciples gathered together. And look what they do in John 20:19. There the Bible reads, "In the same day, the same morning that he got out of the grave, being the first day of the week." Time out one second. Now, every time in your Bible, you see the disciples, the children of God, they're assembling together no longer on the Sabbath. We don't meet any longer on the Sabbath day, but on the first day of the week. There the Lord Jesus has set that day aside that all of His little children would come and worship Him in spirit and in truth. So we see the same day at evening being the first day of the week. You stay right there. I want to read this to you in Acts 20:7 and relay the point to you. We find those disciples in Acts 20:7. "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight." I know I get along pretty long-winded sometime, but Paul just couldn't get it all said. Amen. He preached all the way to midnight. Boy, if there's ever been a need to preach in the midnight hour, it is in this day, in this hour, that Christ died on the cross. Because God loved us and He sent His Son to die in your place and my place, to take my sin and your sin and nail them to an old Roman cross, shed His blood and die. Went in the tomb, and on the third day He rose up victor over death, hell, and the grave. Now we that are in Christ, we will live with Jesus. Oh, we'll all die in this flesh, the first Adam. But as in Christ, the second Adam, we that are saved by the good grace of God, we're going to lay this old body down. We're going to live forever. Can I tell you, eternity's too long to be wrong this morning. The Bible said you must be born again. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. There's one way to heaven, and He is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So here in this first meeting in the upper room, we see the places He stands on the first day of the week. In verse 19, they had the door shut. They were assembled for fear of the Jews. Well, why? Because that religious crowd didn't like Jesus. They didn't believe that He was the Messiah. There's a little blood-washed band gathered together in an upper room. And so Jesus just decides to come and stand right in the midst of them. Aren't you glad that He loves to be in the midst of His people? Wouldn't it be bad to go to church where Jesus never showed up? Can I tell you, honey, church is not about chandeliers and stained glass. And I'm all about it looking nice for Jesus. But I'm going to tell you, religion lets you die and go to hell. But I'm glad Jesus comes by from the first day of the week and moves amongst His people. Lord have mercy, one last Sunday, a blessing. You just can't explain that. And I'm going to tell you, folks, in the Bible, the first day of the week, we are to gather together and worship our great God in spirit and in truth. Look at all the children in this church. You families, I commend you. And I thank you for bringing your babies to church. We live in a day and an hour when this woke crowd, they're trying to turn your little girls into boys and your boys into girls. But let me tell you something, friend. You'll learn some things in the house of God if you got a preacher preaching out the right kind of Bible and telling you what's going on. Keep your family in the house of God. So important. Brother Randall, when Megan and Macy was so little, we didn't have any option. They had car seats. We'd stick them in the back of that old Pepsi van and drive all the way to Delta, Alabama. They followed us everywhere we went. And Mom and Daddy's young families, you remember this. In those days, they were on our toes. But now they're on our hearts. And I sure am glad we got a God that loves to stand in the midst of His people. It does pay to serve God. You know something, your children might not always do right. Me and you don't always do right. But I'm glad there's a Jesus in heaven. He said if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Did I tell you Jesus saves? Jesus saves. Jesus saves. So we see the places He stands. Secondly, look at the protection He supplies. The door was shut for fear of the Jews, but Jesus came and stood in the midst. Can I tell you that unseen hand, the God behind the scenes, brings us protection so many times. And He came in the upper room where His disciples were fearful of the Jews, had the doors locked, but Jesus walked right on in. Aren't you glad doors don't keep Jesus out? Matter of fact, He rolled the stone away, not in order that He could get out, but so me and you could get in. I'm glad I'm in this morning. So on this first Easter service, you'll see the places that He stands, the protection He supplies. But look right here, sinner, in verse 19. Look at the peace that He shares. Jesus came and stood in the midst. And look what He said. Brother Shane, He didn't say shame, shame. But He said peace, peace. And you know why? Because Jesus is the peace giver. Look, you don't have to die and go to hell in your sins. Jesus will give you eternal life and eternal peace this morning. And so He comes in to these closed doors, the places He stands, the protection He supplies, but the peace He shares. Peace be unto you. I'm so thankful. You know, for years and years, I was trying to smoke out of the devil's bag to get me peace. There may be some folks here this morning. The world's got you addicted, got you hooked on things. And, you know, it's something about that. When I try to get peace in me, when I come down, there was Jesus, and all my troubles were still there. And that's what the pills and the drugs and the liquor will do for you. It'll leave you with all of your issues and troubles. But in 1981, when I come to Jesus, He washed me inside out. Oh, I'm thankful that He's still in the delivering business this morning. And so the peace that He shares. Verse 20, look at the proof He shows. And when He said so, said to them, He showed unto them, look, His hands and His side. The scars in His hands. He says, my disciples, this is me. Don't be terrified. I'm in the midst. Look at the scars in my hands. Oh, aren't you glad that when He was nailed to the cross, He took your place and my place. He showed them His hands and His side. You remember, they came by and they broke the legs of the thieves on the cross. But when they got to Jesus, He had already given up the ghost. He had died. For the old prophecy was fulfilled. Not a bone in His body will be broken. But that Roman soldier, he took a spear and he stuck it in the side of Jesus on that cross. And the Bible says when he pulled it out, there forthwith came blood and water. Can I tell you, God opened the side of His Son that we may be placed in that and have eternal life. The proof He shows. We were preaching this week up in Mount Airy. The topic came about and said, there's many people that don't believe that Jesus got out of the grave. Many said there in that town in their lost condition, we don't believe the gospel story. Well, can I tell you, I know it's true. One day, we that are saved will see the nail-scarred hands, the prints in His feet and in His side. But the reason I know He lives, because He lives in me. And I'm thankful That's all the proof I need is the Word of God and the Spirit of God that lives in me. Oh, He may make you doubt your salvation today, but if you've come to Christ by faith, He would receive you and accept you. Repent of your sins. Turn from your ways and follow Jesus. My church, the proof He shows. You know, I'm not going to preach much longer, but I want to labor on this point just a second. I want Miss Emily to sing that imitation song again. She does song. The proof He shows. You that were here last Sunday, there's no way you can flip a switch on and make what happened here, son. Did you notice all of a sudden on the last song where the Lord just come walking in the midst? That's amazing to me. These pillars and chandeliers didn't do that. You didn't do that, but the Lord did that. You say, well, what about that? Proof is in the pudding this morning. I'm glad He lives. Now I'm glad He walks among His people. You see, on this first Easter service, as the disciples are in the upper room, Jesus came in those locked doors. The places He stands, the protection He supplies, the peace He shares, the proof He shows. But look at the power that He sends in verse 22. And when He said this, He breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Then He said, verse 21, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Boy, isn't it amazing when the Lord saved us. Church, He just don't want us to sit on a pew, but He wants to use us for His honor and His glory. Wherever you shop, wherever you work, wherever you go to school, wherever you pump gas, you ought to ask the Lord to let you be a light shining out in this old dark world. And then, church, I want you to see this last verse this morning. I'm done preaching. The places He stands. Oh, I sure am glad He comes in the midst of His people. The protection He supplies. The peace He gives. The proof He shows. The power He sends. But look in verse 23. You ever notice this verse in your Bible? And whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Brother Ken, I want to ask you something. What does that verse mean? Well, Paul clarifies it in 2 Corinthians 5. This is what he tells us. He says in verse 18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. And here it is, church, don't miss it. And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. What's that mean? The sins that are remitted and the sins that remain. He's telling those believers on that first Easter service, he said, those people that you go out and you win to God, you get to see them saved. We can't save nobody, but we can point them to the Redeemer this morning. He said, their sins will be forgiven. And those that die in their sins, they will give an account for their sin. I remember one time when our church was young, Brother Randy Daniels, I never forgot, he got up and he preached on the ambassadors of Christ. That means representatives. We're all ambassadors that have been saved, and this is what he says. He says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, hath committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. You may be here this morning. You've never been saved. It's a profound Bible word, but yet it is so simple. He said if we had come to Christ by faith, He would save us, each and every one. I wonder, just as an old country preacher this morning, could I tell you, Jesus loves you so. And He died for you. And on the third day, He got out of that grave. Well, preacher, where is He now? What is Jesus doing now? This Bible says He's sitting on the right hand side of the Father, interceding, bringing people to God. You see, when you come to Jesus, He grabs a hold of you and He reaches up to God and He brings you to God by faith, by grace, through faith. Christian, wonder if you got any lost family that's unchurched. How sad, unchurched. I see all them little children up here this morning. As a pastor's heart, and as simply as a granddad, I realize none of them can drive. Not a one. They must be brought. And I want to thank you for bringing them this morning. And I want to tell you this. I'm done now. If you've never been saved, it'd be a good morning. Just come bow your knee to Jesus. Ask Him to save you. Then you that are in the church, may we realize that we are ambassadors for Christ. What a great day on this Easter morning to be saved. Would you want to be saved? Would you come to Jesus? I'd pray with you. Church, anybody you need to pray for, we sing this morning. We open these altars. I know it's Easter, a lot of Easters, but you can come. Nobody will judge you here. If you'll come to Jesus, He'll help you with what you need. Would you come? While we simply sing this song this morning, would you come? Would you come?